Thank you very much. Oh, what a blessing to see everyone tonight. Open your Bible to John chapter 15 as we continue to work our way through this marvelous gospel. Some heavy-duty stuff here in that upper room the last night. And rest assured, the disciples didn't fully comprehend it. But it was nevertheless given, recorded, for us to also have. There we go. Now I'm online. I was getting messages from the back. Nevertheless, we are in a portion where there are just some rich and deep spiritual, theological, practical things that we need to get a hold of. And just too often we just zip through these things, and just if it's not on the surface, we don't seem to just want to stay and stop until we understand it. So I'm trying to slow it down a little bit to aptly so much so I'm going to deal with one verse tonight. Because I see so many of us miss this truth that's so important. With that in mind, let's read verses 1 through 8, but we're going to, Lord willing, address verse 8. Follow along as we get the context. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you will be my disciple. Let's pray. Father, we come to you tonight and again seeking to understand deep, deep and profound yet spiritual realities that involve each and every one of us as your people. Lord, we long to bear fruit. We certainly long and desire, hunger and thirst, to abide in you. And Lord, we know without that abiding and never leaving you, always staying near and drawing from you, that we then and only then can bear fruit that flows from you to us and through us. And so, Father, we pray that you will help us to grasp this. This is as practical as it gets. So important in our sanctification, in our walk with you, in our ongoing work of transformation that the Holy Spirit is doing the moment of our salvation until we go home to be with you throughout eternity. So, Father, we pray for help tonight. In Christ's name, amen. We have learned a lot here about the vine director, the branches, true and false. Clear things that we needed to be aware of is the idea of the concept of abiding, which means it is not mythical, it's not weird, it's amazing how many books that are out there, how many articles or sermons. They just mythify it. You should do a word study in it, and it just simply means that you always stay near and never leave Christ. You never abandon Christ. You always stay with Him. You always draw up Him. We struggle, we stumble, we fall, we falter, don't understand everything He's doing, especially when crises and trials and tribulations come. But we don't leave Him. True believers that have the Holy Spirit within, this is what the forefather taught us in the phrase, the perseverance of the saints. They don't leave Christ. They will continue. One of the things, if you remember your old King James, they used a little phrase called, whoever believeth on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. The idea of the translator with the ETH was to show you in the Greek that it's not a one time I believe, it is I will believe and continue to believe. Or in our translation now we use, and he who believes, ongoing, active. Why? Because if we have a faith that comes from God and a faith that comes from the Holy Spirit living within us, that will always be there. We will struggle. So we're talking about abiding and biding in such a way that it said clearly and guarantees fruit. We're going to talk a moment about fruit. I've kind of touched on it, but I got more specifics tonight. But the idea of fruit, and he had been saying all along to his disciples, interacting, that you need to stay connected to me and draw from me, and when you bear this fruit, we're coming to verse 8, now the Father brought into the situation, besides being the vine director, it speaks of the fact that the Father is glorified when you bear fruit. And so that's why in verse 8 it says, by this my Father is glorified. That he, and our whole life and ministry of the Lord Jesus had been to glorify His Father, to exalt His Father, to do only that which pleases the Father. I came to do His work and to finish the work He has given me. That's why later on in His high priestly prayer, I have done what You have asked me to do. Now let me enjoy the glory I had with You once before. Here it speaks to the fact that the Father is glorified, and it tells it what it is. Noted verse 8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. Fruit is mentioned 6 times in this passage, all the way down to verse 16. Over and over and over. It's not just some belief, not some embracing of a propositional thought, truth, an idea. It is vital. When you connect with Christ in a real sense of the word, it will transform your life to bear fruit. Fruit is mentioned in verse 2 that you will bear fruit. As the branches united with the vine, it there to bear fruit. Also in verse 2, you are pruned so you can bear more fruit. And then it goes on a little bit farther in verse 5 and verse 8, that you bear much fruit. So we have fruit, more fruit, much fruit. And right when you thought that was done, we're going to find out in verse 16 that your fruit remains, not deteriorate. And so we'll deal with that when we get to verse 16. But the idea here is fruit, over and over, that we would bear fruit. In John 15, verse 16, it said that you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. We already addressed that last week, that when you look at verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. So now we're talking about a double abiding. Abiding him, never leaving him, and never leaving his word. Fruit comes from union with him and allowing his word to govern and transform your life. And then it said, when that happened, verse 7, abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done to you. Of course, when you abide in Christ is all, the word is all. Later on when it talked about abide and bearing much fruit, when you ask anything in my name. I went to great length last week to explain that. But the point is, beloved, is that we are to abide so we can bear fruit. The question is, what is this fruit? And I know for years I always thought of all of the external service and works. What is the fruit that glorifies the Father? Fruit is not something that's simply attached to the vine from the outside, but as one commentator would say, it is an organic spiritual product and evidence of an inner life. It proves this fruit, whatever it is, I'll get to it in a moment, it is proof of union with Jesus Christ. This spiritual union where you get, just like we look at a vine and we can't see the vine feeding the branches, the staff and the nourishment and everything that makes it bear fruit. Just like the world and we can't see each other, the only thing we can see from each other is the fruit, but we don't see the inner stopping. That's why it said earlier, when you don't have that fruit, it gives indication that there is no union, there is no staff. Cut it off, throw it in the fire, and burn it. We already dealt with the false branches. Now he dialed back in. Talk about fruit, this time about the fact that it glorifies the Father. So often, we attach fruit. So much attention is given to the outward work or the result of these work as being intended to be the fruit here. But there is, as one commentator would say, there are two problems with that. When we only view fruit at external works, you know, service, religious activity. First is that it can be a form of deception to those who may do many things in the will and the energy of the flesh. But these are dead works, often found on corrupt trees, and not real fruit that glorify the Father. The Bible makes it clear over and over, the flesh profits nothing. You cannot bear spiritual fruit in and of yourself. Even Jesus said this. He said earlier in the passage, it said, abide in verse 4, abide in me and I in you, and the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. That's flesh. That's doing everything in your power, your flesh, and willing it and doing it on your own, buckling up and just serving and doing and staying busy and active with religious activity. Then he goes on, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, to the disciples, unless you abide in me. And then the very next verse he said, for without me, you can do nothing. He even said in John 6:63, it is the Spirit who gives life, flesh profits nothing. That's not only true of salvation, that is also true of sanctification. We are to bear the fruit of the Spirit. We are to bear the fruit of Christ-likeness. It will manifest itself in works. But that's fundamentally what we are called to do. So the first danger is the fact that though many people can do religious work and look like, wow, they're bearing a lot of fruit for the kingdom. Let's not forget the words of our Lord back in Matthew 7. We have done all these things in your name, Lord. Depart from me, for I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. They did the external works, but there was no life. It was all from the flesh. No union, no communion, no spiritual connection with Jesus Christ. A.W. Pink brings up another problem with trying to do nothing but external work. And this is really a comforting word. Listen to this. Pink to this. It becomes also a sort of discouragement to the children of God who, because of sickness, old age, or unfavorable circumstances, cannot engage in such activity outward and later are made to believe that they are barren and useless. So what about those shut-ins who can't serve anyway? What about those who just cannot? They're just so sick and infirm that they cannot get out and minister and do the works. Are they fruitless? No. Because that's not what we're talking about. Only external. We know it's going to bear fruit. And true servant, God worked in both to will and to do of his good pleasure. But the idea here, let's be careful when we define what fruit is. Okay, I'll get to the briefing it up in a minute. Pink went on to say, we can say in brief, the fruit bore by the branches did precisely what it produced by the vine. Let me back it up and say it again. We can say in brief, the fruit borne by the branches did precisely what it produced by the vine. What is he saying? Because you're in union with the vine, you're going to bear the fruit from that vine. Make sense? What is that? He goes on. And that is best understood by looking at what he was in God's witness in the world. The fruit is Christ-like affection, disposition, and graces, as well as the work they display. Here it speaks to the fact that it is Christ-like affection, Christ-like disposition and graces, as well as the works that they produce. He went on to say, we cannot undervalue the work of faith and the labor of love, which is actions and works. But we should remember that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And those who are hindered, listen now, now he's bringing it back around to those who can't get out and do this. He said, and those who are hindered from engaging in activities of Christian service may often be in the circumstances most favorable to the production of the fruit of the Spirit. What does that mean? That means because they're not out there, they may have more time to pray, let God to do his work, transforming them, their character in their very home, maybe in their very own room. They can't leave because of their health, or whatever their condition is. But you can bear fruit even in that situation. You don't have to go out in the jungle and reach the pagans and the heathens with the gospel. You can pray for it. You can still take on more of the likeness of Jesus Christ. One of the greatest ways, we all know when trials and tribulation come, it had a tendency to draw us home. Had the tendency to draw, we're not out there, we kind of retreat and try to recover. But what a great time to bear fruit. Because it's you and the Lord. We're not talking about simply bearing fruit and being no earthly good. But it starts with the transformation inside. That's why Philippians always said in chapter 2, verse 13, it is the Lord that worked in both to will it and to do it. And yet, I remember for so many years, get out there and get busy. Get out there and get busy. We got work to do. There's people to talk to and visit, people to share the gospel with. There are things to get, need to be done, and you just never, ever seem to slow down. And I miss the whole purpose of fruit. Here, our Lord made it clear to the disciples. He's about ready to leave them. They're going to be on their own with the Holy Spirit doing the work in them. And He is going to be with them through His teaching and through the ministry of the Holy Spirit to carry on this work. And when they are constantly, whether they see outward fruit or not, they can still bear fruit in the likeness of Christ. So the fruit that glorified the Father is the likeness of His beloved Son. He wants to see the reflection of His Son in us. When we reflect, look like, and display the likeness of Christ, we will serve the purpose of the union with Christ. Not to feel good, it's not to feel safe, but transform, change. Any man in Christ, he is a new creature. Old stuff, gone, new stuff, and this is the new stuff we're talking about. When we talk about fruit, and I'm bringing up pink because he explained it better than all of them, who are basically saying the same thing. He said it this way, quote, "It is deeply important for us to recognize that the fruit is the outflow of our union with Christ. Only thus will it be traced to a true origin and source. If people look at you and say, man, you look like a great Christian. You're so faithful. You're so much of a blessing. You got a lot of faith. You got your compassion, your kind, all the stuff that we hope to be. But let's not forget where the source came from. It all came from Him. That's why one of the best things I ever heard was, if there's anything good in my life, He gets all the glory. Anything bad, I take full responsibility. He goes on to say, then will it be seen that our fruit is produced not merely by Christ's power acting on us, but as it truly is, as the fruit of the vine in union. Therefore, every branch should say, not I, but the grace of God. If I bear fruit, not I, but the grace of God. Why? He goes on. This is all one had to say that our fruit is Christ's fruit in us. For God's operation of grace are only wrought in and by Jesus Christ. We saints are filled with the fruit of righteousness, which are Jesus Christ, to the praise of the glory of God. If there is any love, it is the love of Christ. If there is any joy, it's Christ's joy. If there is any be any peace, it is His peace given unto us. If there is any meekness and gentleness, it is the meekness and gentleness of Christ working in and through us to be manifested in His likeness. I guarantee you, when you have this standard, which is the biblical standard, legalism falls short and shallow. looked like broken branches all over because it, or my illustration I used earlier, a couple messages ago, plastic fruit versus real fruit. This is the goal and purpose for this spiritual reality. I am the vine, you are the branches. Abide in me. Never leave me. Stay with me. Because without me, you can do nothing. You want to do something for the kingdom? You want to do something for the glory of God? You want to glorify the Father? Stay near and watch the fruit come out. Fruit, more fruit, much fruit, fruit remains. This is the goal, Christ-likeness. Christ in and through us. We see this in Romans 8:29, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 and 3, beloved, now we are the children of God, and had not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Okay? Then it says in verse 3, and anyone who has this hope of the coming of Christ purifies himself just as he is pure. I often tell people who want to study feverishly prophecy, you better have the fruit of holiness, because that's the purpose. If you got this hope is to produce transformation of your character into his likeness. How about 2 Corinthians 3:18? But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Clearly it's saying, as we behold him, we stay with him. We always abide with him. We will be transformed into his image, glory by glory, peace by peace. That is what will glorify the Father. But not that alone. Not only will we glorify the Father, it will confirm that we are his disciples. Look at verse 8 again. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciple. The New King James is not quite clear, but let me tell you what the New American Standard, Legacy Study Bible, as well as the ESV. Here's what it said. They all three say the exact same thing. It said that when we look at the end of verse 8, it said that, so you will prove to be my disciple. When you glorify the Father by bearing much fruit, you will prove to be his disciple. Even another trustworthy translation, the Bible in basic English, and so are my true disciples. No different than what we learned earlier in John chapter 8, verse 31. Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. If you abide in my word. Not leave it. Let it always transform and govern your life. It's not talking about continuing in the word as a condition of discipleship, but it gives evidence that you are his disciple. If you abide in his word, you are demonstrating you are his disciple. The same is here. To bear much fruit will make it manifest that we are his disciples, or using the other translation, you will prove to be my disciple. You want to bear the mark that is unequivocal evidence of a child of God? Christ-likeness. You will prove that you're his disciple. She had the good fruit. Good fruit on a tree does not make the tree a good one, but marked it out as such, meaning good fruit comes from a good tree. Good fruit doesn't, this is good fruit. That means it's a good tree in a sense that the fruit makes the tree good. No, the tree makes it good fruit. That's why Jesus said other places, bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Good tree doesn't bear bad fruit. But when you have a good tree bearing good fruit, you've got a good combination. I am the vine, we are the branches. We are to bear fruit, which is we prove ourselves to be Christ's disciple by displaying Christ-like qualities and character traits in our life. One of the best ways to learn that is love, read, study the gospel, and watch our Lord in action. He had been confronted virtually with everything we'll get confronted with. People misunderstanding him, people who want him dead. Thankfully, he already took care of the cross issue. He did that for us. So, beloved, may we glorify the Father and bear much fruit. And when we do that, we will have proven that we do belong to him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love, your goodness, your word. Oh, Lord, help us not to resort back to doing everything in the arms of the flesh, but to do it in the power of the Spirit, to be abiding in the vine in Christ, have communion and union and fellowship. Oh Lord, help us to understand what Paul meant, that when he was weak and he draws up the grace of God, he is strong. May we understand that in the flesh, we can't produce the fruit that glorified the Father, glorified the Son. Oh Lord, help us not to bear fruitless branches. Help us always to abide and to demonstrate that we do indeed belong to you, and we are grateful for our salvation and our union with you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.